Thank you very much indeed. Please do be seated, apart from John, if you'd like to come up. And Selena as well. All the way from Taiwan. And, well, Heavenly Father, please bless them now. Whatever they bring to us, Lord, please help us to take it and to retain it and to keep it and to reflect upon it. We pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. Okay. I'll share a few minutes and then hand over to my husband, John. We're so thankful. Okay, I've got to speak a bit louder. We're so thankful to be with you all. I haven't been back here for 4.5 years. Last time I came back, I was pregnant with Elijah, and John wasn't with me. And John, I think, hasn't been back for 6 years to visit your church. So we're so thankful to be with you all. And just thinking, we haven't been able to visit, but you've still prayed for us, you've still supported us, you've still encouraged us, and we are so, so thankful to you all. And we really just say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for remembering us and praying for us. Try not to cry. But we just thank you so much. So I'll just share a little bit like how we ended up in Taiwan. And then, so some of you already know my story. I was called by God at the age of 12 to move to China, and I moved there. Yeah, 12. I didn't go at 12. So, yeah, at 12. So when I finished college, I moved to Taiwan and spent 4 years there to train to go to China. I learned Chinese, did a Bible school, a mission school, had 4 years there. Then I moved to China, and I was there quite a few years. My ministry was looking after orphans, that was some of it. I was fostering the orphans in my home and also leading Bible studies for new believers amongst the Miao minority people group in China, and also evangelism. And in China, that's where I met my husband a few years after I was there, and we got married. We continued doing ministry in China. To cut a long story short, we ended up in a different part of China, in Ningxia province, where we were working with the Hui Muslim people, wanting to do long-term church planting amongst them. That was 6 years ago, 7 years ago. We planned to stay there the rest of our lives. It took me a while to settle in that part of China. My husband was happy straight away, but it took me a while. But then we were so happy, the ministry was going so well. But after a year and a half, the authorities told us we had to leave. That was 5.5 years ago. The authorities all know who the missionaries are. It's not, we try to be undercover missionaries, but they actually know. But they did a big crackdown in China for the missionaries and also for the Chinese believers. So they told us we had to go, and we were devastated. Like, what are we going to do? This was the rest of our lives ministry. But we ended up moving to Taiwan. That was 5.5 years ago. We were asked to move there by our YWAM leaders in Taiwan. They asked us to move to lead the Frontier Missions Department in Taiwan. So we've been there now 5.5 years. Probably my husband will share more about what we're doing. For me, mainly I've been a mum, discipling my children, and also involved in discipleship with our YWAM staff in Taiwan, and also evangelism. I take my kids out to the park or wherever, and I talk to people and share with them in a very natural, everyday conversation, invite them to my home. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. Invite them to my church. Some have been coming to church with me, even though they're non-believers. One particularly has been coming for a long time. So, and also in Taiwan, I have been, for a year, I try not to be too long. I've been for a year teaching an English class in a church, and that has been going really well. Once a week, this class is not supposed to be a Bible study class or evangelism class. It was just an English study, English language lesson for old people. And the church was hoping that the old people would come to the church and then be interested in Jesus and coming to the church. So for a year I've been teaching them, and I based a lot of the lessons on Bible stories or Bible themes. And it's been amazing, the conversations that I've been having with these older people. I did one lesson on the theme was hero, like who was your hero. I shared the story of Gladys Aylward. Some of you may know who she was, a missionary to China. She is my hero, my childhood hero. And I shared with them that story, why she was my hero, why I moved to China, why I was in Taiwan. And the amazing thing is Gladys Aylward's tomb was really close to where I'm living in Taiwan. So I said, her grave is here, you can go visit it, not expecting any of them would actually visit. But one of my students, who's a non-believer, actually went and visited her grave and came back to the class the week after knowing her story better than me. He told me he'd researched her story and he told me lots of things that I didn't know. I was like so like amazed. So it's been really an amazing year teaching these old people, having conversations about them, and just different themes, English language themes, but just weaving the gospel through them. And actually yesterday was Saturday, right? I wasn't able to be there, but they did a play on the banquet that Bible story where somebody is inviting people to come join his feast, but they make excuses, they can't come. And then they invite the poor, the sick, and the lame. And these people, so yesterday they performed that, and they'd never heard that story. And we had many conversations, like one of them said to me, it's really hard for me to invite my friends to my home for a meal, never mind strangers. And so I was able to share with them, like Jesus, he welcomes everyone to believe in him. You know, you can have lots of money, not much money, and or anything, but he welcomes everyone. And so yesterday they performed it without me. But anyway, it was just been amazing, that opportunity to share the gospel in Taiwan with the old people. And so I think I'll just hand the rest of the time over to my husband, but also just thank you so much. We really do appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wish I have the same accent as my wife. I have quite a different accent, okay? So maybe you have to bear with me. Okay. So my name is John. I'm from India. And I came from northeast part of India, very close to Burma. So we just want to say thank you so much once again. Right? Especially when we left China, that was very, very difficult for us. And even for me personally, I moving to Taiwan, I was assuming that it would be easier, because Taiwan is much more, there's much more freedom of religion, not like China. But I think moving to China was actually harder than I thought. So, sometimes, if I can be honest with you, like even as a missionary, sometimes we feel dry, sometimes your prayer doesn't seem to go very far up, right? It's just hitting the ceiling and just drop again, Sometimes you have that kind of feeling. But like, I think those days when you know, right, even when you don't feel like praying, but you know that there are people faithfully praying for you, right? People like you guys have been praying for us. And I genuinely believe that those prayers that sustain us, even us being in a mission field. So I just want to say thank you so much. Right, even your prayer makes a difference in our lives. Those are those prayers that sustain us. So, I just want to say thank you. You know, this is God's mission, right? We're talking about God's mission. We're doing God's mission. This is not our mission. And we need everyone, young and old, rich and poor, from different country, from different nation, to do God's mission so that many more people will know about our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. So even a simple prayer that you pray for us, or you pray for different countries and different ministry, simple, ordinary, mundane stuff that you did, make a difference in God's kingdom. So because at the end of the day, this is not about us, right? This is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we just want to say thank you once again. And pastor and church leaders, and thank you so much. And all of you who have been praying for us and also supporting us financially, we can't thank you enough. And like we said, leaving. So I went to China when I was 22 years old. And learned in China, you cannot be a missionary, right? So you have to learn, you have to use different way to stay in China. So I was learning Chinese in university and also doing church planting among the university students. So God somehow by his grace, he blessed us with the ministry, and then people became Christians, and people who have never heard about Jesus became Christians. And it was wonderful to hear, your sister became Christians. And it's also amazing, right, how passionate when new believer, when people found new faith and when they meet Jesus, they're so excited about it. And so even this, my friend became a Christian through reading Bible. And after that, he shared the gospel with his dorm mate. Six of them became Christian within a year. And that's how we started our first house church. And that church grew. And then, we started, we do that about 7 years in with the university students. And also, we did some ministry in a village, rural area, where, it's still very, there are many remote villages that you can't even get by train or by car. So we used to go to those places. There are some minorities group called like the Puyi tribe. So I used to work with the Puyi tribe with some of my friends. And so there are many, many people who have never heard about Jesus, right? It's a whole tribe, a whole people group, a whole villages that who have never heard about Jesus. These are not post-Christian places. These are pre-Christian place, right? If nothing changed, these people will born and live and will die, never heard about Jesus. I'm aware that even in England, maybe we have more and more people like that, right? So we live in but at the same time, we live in such an exciting time. Right? Some people say that X29 is still happening right now, right? We live in X29, right? The book of X stop at X28, right? So, but we live in an X29 time, season. Right now, the gospel is going forward in many, many places, in India, in Nepal, in China, in spite of all the restrictions and persecution. Right? So even as we mentioned about, right now, if you can remember, the believers in China, right? Many of our friends have to close down their meeting place. We can't meet up like this, right? Many places, because of COVID restriction, also intensify some of the regulations and rules, so they can't meet up in big group like this. But at the same time, the interesting thing is happening. And because that's how I think, if we look at mission history and church history, right? The gospel always continue to go forward in spite of persecution, in spite of difficulties. That's what we see in the book of Acts. That is still happening in real life at this time in history. So even in China, even right now, even though they're really struggling, right? Some people lost their job. Some people are in prison right now. Some of our good friends. But the interesting thing in China right now is that even though those restrictions are happening, these Chinese believers are also actually have passion to send out missionaries. Some of you may have heard back to Jerusalem, for example, right? They send out Chinese believers are sending out missionary to Muslim nations. So that is happening. So there's a house church network that I'm part of. And they calculated, I don't know how exactly they calculated, since cultural revolution. They believe that there will be there were 20,000 foreign missionaries that came to China. So, but now they say, this is our time for Chinese Christian to send out 20,000 missionaries to the nations, right? So even though there are restrictions, and some of us, and many missionaries are kicked out right now, right, since 2018. But at the same time, God is using the Chinese believer to go out to the nation, to the Muslim nation, right? This never happened in history, but these things are happening. And you know, Chinese, even as a country, their influence is expanding, right? Expanding to the Middle East, to Central Asia. But God is using those kind of influence even for his gospel. And so this Chinese believer, even though they, yeah, especially when you face persecution, difficult times, it's easy to just look down, right? It's just easy to sometimes withdraw ourselves and just kind of focus on ourselves, right? But these Chinese believers, they don't do that. They go out, they are outward looking, even though they are facing hard time. But they're taking the gospel, and actually they're giving a heavy price. Some of my friends who are sent out, also, even during the ISIS time, some of them were actually martyred. So even for us right now, what we're doing in Taiwan is slightly different now. We are not doing church planting anymore. So our role is basically, we work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, some of you may know. So YWAM is an international organization that started in 1960s. So this our founder have a vision that many, many young people will go out to the nation and share the gospel to in every corners of the world. So he have that dream. And then through that, so we are part of that organization. So right now we are in Wai'an, Taipei. And I'm part of the leadership team. So our heart is really, because Taiwanese churches are also growing. Okay, so it's exciting, right? Maybe that's good to hear those news too, right? Like especially in Europe and even in England, maybe we might not see those kind of movements so much. But right now, God is moving in these places. We are a part of that movement. So even in Taiwan, the gospel is, many people are becoming Christians. So the church is growing. So as a mission organization, our heart is also to mobilize Taiwanese churches to go out to the nations. Right? They have resources. They have passion. They are willing to suffer. They have a sound theology of suffering. They're willing to take the gospel to hard places, but at the moment they have not done the cross-cultural part of mission that much. Even when the Taiwanese church when they send missionaries, often they go to like Chinese speaking community, and so our heart is really to champion many more young Taiwanese to go to the nations, right? Because in Taiwan right now, many missionaries that go out to the nations, missionaries are often, the average age is between 35 to 40 years old. But we want to encourage young people. We want to champion young people. Especially if you're going to learn new languages, right? Actually, it's easier to learn when you're younger. If we look at history, like the missionary that came to my tribe in India, from England and from Scotland and Wales, they were 25 and 24 years old. They came to our tribe, who used to be known as a headhunting tribe, right? Those who do not have written language, they make our script, and within 3 years they learn the language and they make our dictionary and they translated the Bible, right? Those are young. When we say young people, that means 25 and 24 years old. Are already taking, historically, that's what it's always been like, right? And so even for Taiwanese Christian, that's one of our heart as a Y on Taipei, is we want to encourage young people to go out into the nations so that they can learn the language well. And also when you're younger, it's also easier to adjust with different culture and new culture as well. So yeah, so in YOM Taipei, we run trainings. The first one is the discipleship training school for 5 months. So within that, we learn different topics about the nature of and character of God and salvation, missions and the Gospels. And after 5 months, they go out. And so this is a time that where people, younger people, come and really explore missions, if this is something that they want to do. And not everybody always come back and or became a missionary in other countries or overseas, but they often go back and they continue to work in the church or in whatever God is calling them in their workplace or in marketplace. So that's a place that we do training there. And another one is School of Biblical Studies. So we have 9 months intensive inductive Bible school. So it's a 9-month course. You study the whole Bible inductively. So that's part of our training. We want to send missionary that is biblically sound and who know their Bible. And so we have that training, so 9 months course. And also we have another school called School of Frontier Missions. That's the school that I'm leading. So after they have done these trainings, during the SOF School of Frontier Mission, our focus is to learn about how do we communicate the gospel cross-culturally. How do we communicate the gospel contextually? How to learn new language and how to do church planting and different things. So those you learn that about 5 months, and then you go out. If they want to become a long-term missionary, they go out into different places where they have been called to go. So, and also as in Taiwan, we also, as a YWAM, our ministry there, we also serve in different local communities. So we help with English teaching with people who have low income kids, teaching English, and also serving in different communities, homes, and in different areas. So because we need, that's part of our identity in a community as well. So we have volunteer visa, because to be a missionary, you need to live in other country, you need visa. So we work as a volunteer. So we help, we work with churches and also with some NGOs in Taiwan as well. So I don't know how much you know about Taiwan. And Taiwan is actually, it's a very small island. Some people think that Taiwan is China, right? But it's not, okay? It's not. Right? I have to be careful when I first moved from China to Taiwan as well. I have to be careful with my language. Because probably some of you know that you have seen news, right? You have seen news that China is trying to, sending planes to Taiwan, and some of our family often, worried about us. And for the majority of the people, they're not that worried, right? As in, even as an organization, we have many Taiwanese staff, and we also have to do kind of like contingency plan. If anything happened, what do we do, and that kind of stuff. But for the locals, they're like, what do you want us to do, right? Like, foreigner, you will leave, maybe, right? But for the local people, that's their home, right? Even if something happened, they don't really know where to go, right? That's their home. So, but Taiwan is a very, very, it's a developed country, right? So it's a democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and we enjoy democracy. It's also a very developed country. So the trainer, they have amazing train, local, transport is amazing, high-rise buildings, but at the same time, it's very still, for the average people, they're also still in very much into like ancestor worship, Buddhism and Taoism mixed. So even like, I think 2 weeks before we came, in where we live, they have this whole parades on the streets. They close down the whole area. They close down so no car can come into particularly the area that we live in, Tansui. So they do these parades. They carry their ancestor, statues and idols, and so they parade this whole street, and they burn like firecrackers and different things. So even though outside, I think it's fair to say they're developed and they have wealth, they have resources. But when you get to know them, people on a personal level, they also still lack peace. They lack to really have that peace, because they live in fear. Yeah. Because this ancestor worship and idol worship is very animistic in nature. So the reason why they worship is because They want to appease with this spirit that control their lives, right? If they don't do some kind of sacrifices, then maybe bad thing will happen to them, you know, to their family, to their business, or anything. So the reason why they do this kind of worship is out of fear. It's a very fear-based culture. And so that affects everything from the way you parent, the way you trying to find your job, the way you try to, you know, find where your kids study. So they're still very much entrenched with those beliefs and those worldview. So Taiwan is in that sense is still very like traditional, even though outwardly it's a developed country. So that's something that maybe if you can continue to pray for Taiwanese, and that they will also not be bound by this fear, by fear of evil spirit. Yeah, that kind of thing is very common for in where we live to talk about those things. It's right on our face, right? Temples are everywhere. Idol worship temples are everywhere when you go out, right? So those are still very ordinary, like normal thing for the people in Taiwan. And so, yeah, so, and also because like Taiwan also need a lot of workers. So we have many workers from like migrant workers, domestic workers from Indonesia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Vietnam. But the exciting thing is, this is something that in recent years, many missiologists, people who study about mission talks about, is right now the gospel is not going forward, not only from the West to the rest of the world, right? In the past, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, the gospel is going forward from this country, right? From Europe or from North America. But right now, the gospel is going forward from everywhere to everywhere, right? The Chinese are becoming Christians and they go out to the nations. So that is happening. That's why when we see like a movement of people, this is the exciting things happening even in Thailand, is that all these Indonesian workers, Muslims, right? And Thai Buddhists coming and work, and Vietnamese, they come to Taiwan and work, and the local Christians are reaching out and they become Christians. And when they go back and they bring the gospel to their villages and town, right? So that's why we live in such an exciting time, right? God, His kingdom, nobody can stop it, right? The Communist Party cannot stop it. We look back history, you know, right? Even powerful country cannot stop the gospel going forward. So that is happening, right? God is using this people movement to bring the gospel from everywhere to everywhere, right? So even right now, people say, if there is 100 Christian right now, right? If there's 100 Christians, the normal Christian would be people from maybe from Brazil who live in a slum, who doesn't even have a cell phone or internet connection. Right? That's the face of Christianity. That's why even as we worship this morning, our faith, Christianity is very diverse. Right? That's what God always wants. From the beginning, He wants to bless the nations. The nations, not just as an individual country, geographical location, but every language, every people group, every walks of life. Right? That's what it is in Revelation 22, right? When John sees a vision from every tribe, from every tongue, they will come and worship Jesus. So that is happening right now. So I think we live in such an exciting time. That's why I just want to bring that an encouragement for all of us too, right? And actually, yeah, sometimes if we see only the dark side, if we read only the news, right? Yeah, it seems very pretty dark, right? But outside of the headlines and clickbaits and those things, and actually exciting things are happening, and God is moving mightily. And radical Muslims are becoming Christians. Atheists, agnostic who used to persecute Christians are becoming Christians. Right, the church, a bit like this, right? Even today, many people are worshiping in different places. Some of them hidingly, quietly, they're worshiping now. But for some of us, we worship in a community center. Some of them are worshiping in a grand building and worshiping our Lord. But right now, That's our faith. Our faith, Christianity, is very diverse. That's what is exciting, right? This faith is exciting and it's colorful and it's rich. It's not just one type of Christian. There's no one type of Christianity, right? It's the expression, the way we worship. Everything is very, very diverse. So that's something that, to me, that's exciting, right? It's exciting. The uniqueness about Christianity is that. If for Muslim, that's not the case. For Buddhism, that's not the case, right? For Muslim, if you want to really want to have a true revelation from Allah, you have to read in Arabic. You can't translate this book, right? Their holy scripture, the Quran, they have to read in their Arabic language. But for us, even a tribal people like us, our God speak our language. Right, he understand when I speak in my mother tongue in Mizo. So, but for many other religion, that's not the case, right? So, but that's why the Christian faith is exciting. It's unique. Right? So that's why it's beautiful. It's colorful. Right? Everybody, all walks of life can come, even within the same country and same culture. It's not only for the rich people. It's not only for the poor people. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. So in Taiwan, it's mostly, we say that Christianity is very much like a middle class religion in Taiwan. And so right now the heart for many mission organizations who works in Taiwan, the focus have shifted to focus on the working class in Taiwan. Mostly those people, they don't speak Mandarin, they speak Thai, the local language. And so right now, and many mission organizations are focusing on those particular area as well. And so that's our heart is really to as much as we can to play our the small role that we can to championing young people, Taiwanese people, to go out to the nations and also reaching the locals, and so that they'll be set free from the bondage of fear, from the bondage of evil spirit, from the bondage of sin and shame. And so that they can be set free and enjoy the good news of Jesus Christ that we enjoy, right? So to conclude my sharing, and just one thing that I have been thinking, and is that, you know, like sometimes when we're about to go home, to go back, to come back to England, or when we go about to go to Mizoram, I often ask, Lord, is there something that you want me to learn during this time? You know, any passages or any particular theme that you want me to focus for me to learn, and also to, if there's an opportunity to share with others. And I feel like the last two months, as I've been praying, I felt like there's something that God has laid these two sentences, is that Jesus was a friend of sinners, right? That's one. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Another one is, we are resident alien in this world. We are sojourners. We are exiled in this. This is not truly our home yet, right? Those two things really struck me. So as I kind of conclude our updates, and when we read Jesus, right? We look at Jesus' ministry. There are many passages. These are well-known passages, right? Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. So, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Right? That's Jesus. And he, actually the text collected, the sinners were drawing near to him. They're attracted to Jesus for whatever reason. They are very comfortable with being around with Jesus. Right? Those are the type of people that society, morally upright people, rejected and don't want to hang out with. All that kind of weird, strange sinners, unclean people, actually hang out with Jesus. They're attracted to Jesus. I find it so this fascinating again, Jesus, who Jesus is, right? The type of people that we avoid was the type of people that Jesus hang out with. And this is a challenge for me, even as a missionaries. And so the type of friends, that the type of people that Jesus draw. And actually people who are often the type of people that Jesus speak against and rebukes are people who think that they are good, right? Who think that they have everything together, right? And the type of people like missionary, right? That's the type of people that often Jesus speak against and rebuke. And here, I feel like this may be something for us to think about too, right? Jesus, he was so amazing, right? And one of my friend, my Chinese friend, when he became a Christian, through reading the Gospel of John, and in the middle of the night, he called me. And he's like, because he have never heard about Jesus. And he read the Gospel of John, and within about like 6 months or so, he became a Christian. He called me in the middle of the night, and he said, John, Jesus is so crazy. Jesus is so crazy, right? And when he read about Jesus, he wanted to start a revolution. He wanted to bring his kingdom. But the type of people that he chose were unlikely candidates, right? The misfits, the type of people that nobody would choose, but he became their friends. People mock him, right? Religious people say, why you hang out with those people? Why you eat with sinners? So all the type of people that Christians sometimes avoid are the type of people that Jesus hang out with, our Savior, right? So And that's why Jesus is, in some way, the Pharisees or the scribes, they didn't realize that they are sinners too, obviously. Right? They are self-righteous. They were sinners too. They didn't know that. They didn't know that. But they are sinners too. They also need Savior. They need Jesus. Maybe because they never experienced the grace of God. Maybe that's why it's hard for them to extend grace to those type of people. Right? But they're trying to live up into their own religiosity, obeying laws and rules. But those things, that's not save us. We know that Jesus, we are saved purely by grace and Jesus and His mercy. And so even us, as we think about, right, that who are the sinners in our community? Whom we think that are sinners? That's the type of people that we have to embrace. Those are the type of people that we have to be included in our family of God. Those are the type of people that we should hang out with. Especially in those days, when you share a meal, actually the connotation is that actually, especially in that culture, the people that you hang out with, the people that you share a meal with, are the people that actually, it's almost you affirming their lifestyle. Right? Culturally, this is very countercultural, even during those days. Because you normally don't share a meal with your enemy, right? You don't really share a meal with people that you don't like. You share a meal with friends and people that you like or you embrace. That's what Jesus is doing. But this is good news. It is a good news that Jesus is a friend of sinner. Because friends, all of us, we are sinners. Right? We are far from God. The Bible says that we all are sinners. We all need His grace and His mercy. He extended His mercy and His grace towards us. That's why we can be righteous before God. Because once we are also sinners. We are the enemy of God. We are not His friend. We are His enemy, the Bible says. We live in darkness, but He brings us into His marvelous light, the Bible says. So that's why this is good news for us too. It's not just good news for people who are out there who are sinners. It is a good news. That's our motivation, right? Even as we think about how we reach out to our community and people from family, friends, we can't do that with our own strength. We need to rejoice in this gospel. We need to remind this gospel that actually we ourselves once far from Him. Dead in our sin. Deserved the wrath of God, but by His mercy He extended grace, a sinner like us. So the more we understand the grace of God, it will be easier even to friends who are maybe hard to befriend with, even to the extent that we actually even able to extend the grace and the mercy of God to even our enemies. Right? I think that is going to be very more and crucial. Even in England, right? Being a Christian maybe is going to be more and more difficult in workplaces and in the different communities. But will we be willing to be friends of sinners? Right? When we are going through hard time and difficult times, even as a people of faith, it's easy to withdraw, right? It's easy to withdraw in our own little bubble sometimes. But God does not want that, right? That's what he's saying. First Peter, if we read First Peter, that's what we see. We have the hope of glory, right? We have a hope of glory. Actually, Christianity was always weird. The early Christians were, they're mocking us that actually they think that Christianity was atheist because they believe only in one God, right? They're mocking them. Oh, this Christian, though during those days, actually many people believe in many gods. They're pantheistic, right? They believe in many gods. But Christian says that actually we believe only in one God. Amen. And they that's the mocking statement. To be called Christian is to think that you are actually atheist during the early church. But the Christian, how do they respond? Even during the Romans time, right? A handful of believer. How does it flourish? Right? Actually, they embrace people who do not look like them. There's no Greeks or Gentile. There's no Romans. There's no slave. There's no women. When they come together on Sunday like this, when they worship, a slave and a master will sit on the same table and share the love feast and the communion together. Right? So they hang out with people who does not look like them. They people doesn't know what to call them. And they say, who are these people? And they call them Christians. So actually, sometimes I think we have to just get those, actually, we are weird. For outside world, actually, Christian belief is quite weird, you know. Actually, when my Chinese friend became a Christian, when we take the communion, that's when he read the Gospel of John, right? He should eat my flesh, right? Cannibalism? He should drink my blood, right? Even during Jesus' time, many people deserted Jesus because some of the things that he said was very hard to believe. Even as a Christian, sometimes we shouldn't just expect people to understand us. Actually, our faith is quite strange. Even during Romans time, nobody worshiped a crucified Messiah. Nobody did that. Right? But our faith is actually weird. It's in odd with majority culture. So sometimes people misunderstand us. That's the reality. That's okay. But we will be friends with them. We will embrace them with the compassion that Jesus entrusted and given to us. That they will see the difference. That's what they see. The reason why the Christianity was growing even in that oppressive regime during that time was not because they have a prime minister of a Christian prime minister or Christian president. No, this group of believers, they hang out with people who do not like them. And when plague strike the city that they live in, all the Romans and other religion left the city. But the Christian, they say, we're going to stay. We're going to stay and look after people who are sick. We're going to take orphans, unwanted children. We're going to take them in. So they live such countercultural lifestyle that they started curious, right? That's why they say in 1 Peter, when persecution, marginalization comes, you live such good life among the pagans that people will glorify Jesus. So that's what the early church did. They embrace people who do not look like them or talk like them. And that's why these people are so curious. And that's how Christianity continued to grow. Not because they have military power. We have not, if we look at history, we haven't done that well. Every time we have a bit of power, Christian, actually, right? We're not very good with power, historically. That's right. Even in mission, right? Even sometimes in even other Christian nations. But actually, like a suffering servant, Jesus Christ, he set a path for us to follow in his footsteps. to embrace people who do not look like us, to even by His strength, to love our enemies. Can I pray for us? Thank you, Jesus. We worship you and we glorify your name because you love us. You show your mercy towards us. I deserve death. I deserve hell. But you bring your Son Jesus Christ into this earth. You died on the cross for us to set us free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of evil spirit. You set us free. Now we enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ. And we also know that, Lord Jesus, this is not our ultimate home. One day, we will meet you face to face. On that day, we wouldn't have any sickness anymore. All our body will be transformed. We will be worshiping you from people from every country, from people from every nation, from different languages. We can't wait that day where we can meet you face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.